Life, in a way, is simple, and yet life is mysterious. We all have a human life, right? We were born with a wonderful human life, but we all realize that this life needs to grow. It's not good if the life remains just like that little present there, right? Would you like to stay this size? You? Either one of you. How old are you?
Nine.
Nine. Well, how about your little brother?
Six.
Six. Isn't it nice if they stay six and nine and never grow again? How would you like that? You'll be having a lot of fun all the time, right? What would your parents say? Where are the parents? Oh, yeah. No. Of course, you would like to see your children grow and mature and grow into someone that is very useful for the Lord, not just for the world, right? That the Lord can use your children to serve Him instead of just grow and study and learn and be for the world. That means life has a wonderful purpose. Or would you like to be like Mercedes? Mercedes is also living, right? What kind of a life? It's an animal life. Animal life. So what can you do with Mercedes? Send him to university. No, you don't send your dog to university. Okay, what do you do with your dog? You teach the dog some tricks, right? That's right. Very simple, very easy. You teach him how to speak? No. Well, why not? How come you can speak, but a dog cannot speak? Give me an answer. Of course you know the answer. Yeah, it's a different kind of life. You have a lot of trees in your home, right?
Yeah.
Can a tree speak? No. But it's living. It's a different kind of life. Very different from your life. And in Genesis chapter 1, it says God created everything, each according to his kind. Each life is different. So if you read John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning. Which beginning was that? It is Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning. It was the same beginning. How do you know it was referring to that beginning? How do you know that in John chapter 1? Because it says, all things were created by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. So it's very clear that that beginning was referring to the beginning when God created all things. Look at all things created by God. From botanical life to insect life to animal life, all kinds of life, even a little ants. You like mosquitoes? But it's also a kind of life. Right? All kinds of life. Whatever God has created is living. It's full of life. What does it tell you? What kind of a God it is? It's a God of life. But what about human being? What does they create? Is your car alive? Tesla is not alive. But it moves. It runs faster than you swim. Right? Who runs faster and swim faster? The car, your Tesla? Or you? Can you run faster than Tesla? So it is. How come it's not life, but you are life? It's very different. Nothing that man has created is alive. It moves, a plane flies, but different than a bird. Right? Very, very different what is life and what is not life. Our God is a God of life. Whatever He did is for life. Right? This is the very beginning. Through the Word of life. But in that beginning, what John referred to in his Gospel, this life was God, the Word. But it is a different expression, a manifestation of that Word in John's epistles. John's epistle was the manifestation of the life of God itself, right? In His glory that is alive in relationship to us. But when God created, He just spoke. Let there be light. And there was light. But that's physical light. Because it is so dark. Life needs what? Light. So that light was a different kind of light than in 1 John. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. It's a light of life for you and me. So the beginning in the Epistle of John is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Also mentioned in chapter 1 of John, right, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And this is when God Himself was fully manifested through this man, Jesus Christ. So if you want to know God, you don't go to an idol that cannot speak, right? Yeah. You like to talk to an idol? Suppose I make you an idol here. Or maybe you say, but that's made of wood. Okay, I'll make a golden Buddha. How about that? Isn't that more precious? It is still dead, no life. I don't care what material you use. What about if I use an electronic one that makes sound like your phone that can talk to you? Your phone can talk to you, right? Hey Siri? Or chat? Right? Your phone talks to you, right? No, you're in Apple there. Does your phone talk to you? You ask a question, it answers you. So, sometimes, that means if it has life. It has no life. No. So, you can see Genesis chapter 1, talking about God's creation, shows that this Word is full of power. Because God is life. He just spoke and it comes into being. Everything came into being through His speaking. OK? Can you imagine what a wonderful God? Do you know of any companies that create things? Let there be a piano, and boom! And the other piano right there. No. Let there be an iPhone. No, it took them I don't know how many millennia to create an iPhone. But God, one word, let there be, and there was. Nobody could understand that.
Amen.
No one could do that. No one could understand that. Let there be all kinds of birds flying in the air. And all of a sudden, it's not just one bird, or not just one kind, but so many kinds. Let the earth bring forth all kinds of living trees and plants and all that. How many kinds of flowers do you know in this world? Hmm? How many? No, do you know? How many do you know? There's so many different kinds of beautiful flowers.
Yeah.
Right. Different shape, different colors, different fragrance, different size. Amazing. It's really, really amazing. Do you realize, if you see all that, you see the power of the Word of God? No one could have done that. No wonder Paul says, if you take a look at the creation of God, what do you see? You see the expression of God's power.
Amen.
You see God in His power, in His wisdom.
Amen.
It's impossible not to know God. This is why there's no excuse. Paul wrote in the book of Romans, there is no excuse. Because God is a God of life. And this life is full of power. It's really amazing. And then He created men in a very amazing way. Very different than when He created all other beings. Very, very different. Did God come to save the monkeys? Actually, they don't need salvation. To tell you the truth, you will be their salvation. And you know why they became as crazy monkeys? Because of sin. Sin did not enter into the monkeys, but into you and me. And we are the head of God's creation. So the whole creation, Romans Chapter 8 says the whole creation is groaning. Waiting for what? Again, louder. And who are they, the sons of God? So what are they waiting for? Do you realize that? Poor creation. If you go to the garden and you see the trees there, they will tell you, Ossie, we've been waiting for you for a long time. Why don't you mature faster? They're waiting for the manifestation of the glory of the sons of God.
Amen.
And they're all groaning. We don't have ears to hear, right, Mark? Yeah. And look what human beings are doing. They are just destroying God's creation. No wonder they are groaning. But then Paul also wrote in the same chapter, and we ourselves are also groaning.
Yeah.
Ah, are you groaning? You're groaning because all your children are naughty. Ah, well, you're groaning. But you are not groaning because you are not mature in life. You don't groan because, Lord, after so many years of being a Christian, how come I'm still like this? How many of you groan like that, please?
It says, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body.
Meaning to say, not adoption, but a full, a complete sonship. I don't know why they use the word adoption. Maybe in the Greek, the euthesia probably also means adoption. But are you adopted by God?
No.
Or you're born by God, right?
Yeah.
Are you born of God?
Yes.
Or adopted?
Born of God.
Well, you can adopt a dog. You can adopt, I don't know what, a cat. A lot of people like to adopt a cat. That is very, very different, right? So, we are not adopted. We are born of God.
Amen.
Meaning to say we have received His life. We are born of God. So man is created in a very different way. We are in totally another level. And we are created to become sons of God. No wonder we are created. When God made Adam and Eve, Adam was made in the image and in the likeness of God.
Amen.
God's plan, like Ephesians chapter 1 says, we were chosen before even the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
That we should be like Him, holy, without blemish, and in love, to be born of God, to be His children. This is our destiny.
Amen.
Unfortunately, you're deceived. Right, we were deceived by the devil. This is all in the Word of God, and you all have to understand it, especially the young people. Right, I don't believe you came from monkeys. No. Definitely not. There's a big difference between you and a monkey, right? No? Have you ever seen a monkey doing business like you? opening up a monkey restaurant?
Monkey business.
They all make monkey business. You're right. But then, do we act like children of God? We are born of God. And the goal, having His life, is to be like Him.
Amen.
That was in 1 John chapter 3.
Yeah.
And also, in the Gospel of John chapter 3, you must be born again.
Yes.
That's the only way. Yeah, that's the only way. All religion try to change you. Some change you to the worse. Some tries to make you a better person. But nobody made it. Because we only have the fallen, infested life and sin dwells in us. So you can realize how important is this life that you have received, but you don't treasure it. We talk about salvation because nobody wants to go to hell, to the lake of fire. So, I need salvation so I don't go there. But, so what do you do if you don't go to hell? They just want to be saved from the lake of fire. And they want to go to heaven. This is this strange twisting of the truth in the Bible. Yeah. Satan is a deceptor, right?
Yes.
A deceiver. A deceiver. Deceiver of the whole world. And don't think Christians are not deceived. The Lord himself said there will be a lot of false teachers, false prophets. James said the same thing. Paul said the same thing. Peter said the same thing. And John said the same thing. He even said about the spirit of Antichrist, which is even more scary than a false prophet. And so you don't believe today there's a lot of antichrists. Everybody's waiting for that one, right? You know which one, the beast. They call him the Antichrist. But John says there are many of them already in this world. Already in this world. Deceiving people. Especially those who are seeking for God. Satanism. I wouldn't call him smart, but I don't know what to call him. He's a liar. He's a deceiver of the world. And of course, a murderer. Don't think the Christians cannot be deceived. Now, who were the deceiver when the Lord Jesus came to this earth? The Romans? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? The elders, the chief priests, all of these people. This is what the Lord was talking about. They are false teachers, false prophets, misleading God's people into something else, and yet mixed with God, mixed with the Word of God, with the Scripture. If you're a Christian and somebody's deceiving you, not using the Bible, you will not believe. But if somebody deceives you with the Bible verses, oh, you will say, is it really true? And you will lend him an ear. A lot of them today. At the time of John, there's already a lot, John says, right, in chapter 2. Many, many already came into the world during his time. Now, if during his time, John said already so many, what about 2,000 years later? Now, it's less, getting less and less. Huh? Not only more and more, but more advanced, more dangerous. They have perfected the way of deception. So what are you going to do? With the whole system there, right? Somebody came here and looked at that chart. Mm-hmm. And John, you talk to that good brother. Mm-hmm. With the verses.
Yep.
And he says, yeah, I have nothing to say, right?
Can't argue because you're backed up by Scripture.
Can't argue because you backed it by Scripture.
Right.
Did you do it? Yeah? Definitely. And what did he say? He said, I'll go home and check it again. Check the Word again. But he didn't check the Word. He checked with
a senior past.
Past.
Oh.
Past.
What did that senior guy say? That's wrong, all wrong. And he believed that.
Yeah.
Why don't you believe the Word of God?
Yeah.
Why you have to believe a pastor? Ah. You know, the Word of God is not hard to understand. If you're open your mind, you'll read the Word of God.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a Christian, you have the anointing indwelling in you. That life is the Lord Himself. As the anointing to teach you all things. Yeah. Not as a professor in the university or a theologian, but He gives you His very essence. Mm-hmm. Remember, Colossians chapter 2, verse 3 says, in Christ dwells all. No, not just the fullness, that's in verse 9, but it says in hidden, is hidden. Okay. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you have this Christ and you know Him, you will have the proper knowledge of life. You will not be misled. That's why, what did 1 John say? The anointing may not be so sure, right?
It's true.
It is true. And is not a lie?
Amen.
Really? Of course. Only Satan is a liar. But our Lord is the truth. His life. I'm just mentioning this because it's about life. John is about life. The Lord kept him sovereignly to be the last Gospel. There are four Gospels. You know, we always like to put John first, and then maybe Matthew second, and Luke third, and Mark the last. I don't know how you are going to put them. Maybe you never thought about that, right? My terrible head sometimes think about it. But the truth is, when you preach the gospel, do you preach Matthew first or John?
Matthew.
Oh, wow, he's an exception.
Matthew and John.
Oh, Matthew and John. So at least Matthew first, John second. John 3:16 is the favorite verse. From every Christian, including yourself. Well, this is normal. This is normal. But God put John always at the end. There must be a reason. What do you think the reason would be? Huh, George?
Bring us back to life.
Back to?
Bring us back to life.
But you already have life in the beginning of your Christian life.
You're distracted.
And what distracts you?
Knowledge.
A young Christian who just believes in the Lord Jesus, like Lynn or you, just, you're not an old Christian like me, right? Maybe 4 to 5 years ago, I don't know. You became a Christian. When you first touch the Lord, you just love Him.
Yeah.
You have not much knowledge, but you love the Lord.
Yeah.
And you like to give your life to Him.
Yeah.
Right? You like to come to Him. But as time grows and you know the Word more and more, and your mind became spiritually complicated. Oh, what does that mean? What does this word mean? And then you went to the meeting there every Sunday and sit down there and sleep. Right, Shirley? Well, she testified to me that she went to so many meetings. She received nothing. She's asleep there. Until He came to Zion. You know, with the time, when we start to think by ourselves, and we think we know the Bible, we know the Word, but not because of life, but because we're being taught. And we are not just being taught. You know, there's a difference between the Lord speaking to people and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. Because the Lord is life. He is the Word Himself, embodiment of the Word of God. The Word became flesh. So when the Lord spoke, it was the Word of life. Life flows out of the Lord Jesus. Now, with us, actually, it should be the same, because John chapter 7 says, if you believe in the Lord, out of your innermost being will flow. Amen. What's going to flow? Not out of your mind, okay? Not out of your head will flow, but out of your innermost being will flow rivers of water of life. Life will come out. So when the Lord spoke, something happens. But when I speak, nothing happens. How about you when you speak? Same. But it doesn't have to be like that. It does not have to be like that. We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of life. In the book of Acts, what is so special about the book of Acts? Yes, they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is why the Lord told them, you wait in Jerusalem. Don't just run off and do some work for me. The Lord says, you wait in Jerusalem until the day of Pentecost. Mm-hmm. What happened at the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit was now ready to be poured out. Amen. And they were all filled. Yes. No exception. Everyone, even the room, was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And when Peter stood up and spoke, wow, so many things happened. You can imagine that fisherman. He didn't go to school there. He didn't study theology. Well, he must have known the scriptures. I don't know where he knew the scriptures from. At least he knew Joel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure where he learned that.
They all have to go to school.
Maybe, yeah. There must be, because the main education is the scriptures. That's the main book, right? But he's not a theologian. He's not a scribe. But that day when he spoke, the word pierced through the heart.
Amen.
Amen.
We don't speak like that because we are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. We are not filled with this life. We are not so conscious of this life. We talk about life. I know, because we all went through that for many decades. Life this and life that. Even the emphasis was L-I-F-E, life. But at the end, it's the opposite of life. So you cannot just talk about life and have life. So John, in his epistles, there you have the gospel and then you have the epistle. The gospel, like our brother shared with us this morning, look, all the chapters, it's just basically about life. Right? In him was life. And then you have to be born again as a matter of life. And then chapter 4, drink the water of life. And all those chapters, wonderful. The bread of life, the water of life flowing out. The Lord says, I came to give you life. And the Lord's burden is to bring us to the Father. And at the very end, We breathe into them the breath of life, the Holy Spirit. Receive you all the Holy Spirit, he said. Right. It's really the gospel of life. This is John's special field. But in the epistle of John, it has the evidence, the proof of this life. No doctrine. Mm-hmm. No doctrine. Mm-hmm. And that life is particularly for us. And that life, the beginning of that life, is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he says, hey, it was manifested to us. Mm-hmm. We even touched him.
Amen.
It's wonderful. That means it's very clear and sure for all of them. And they even not only saw, they beheld him. They were with him day and night. All the time when Jesus was in his ministry on this earth, they were with him. So amazing. And what is the advantage that John says? The life was manifested. Amen. And he's talking concerning the word of life.
Amen.
What does it mean to you? He talks about the word of life and not about Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ not better, the name, than the word of life? Would you prefer to be there when Jesus was there on the earth? Right? Yeah, me too. I was very envious of those apostles and disciples. I said, of course they love you, Lord, because you were there. Suppose the Lord is here amongst us, sitting here in a meeting. Oh, my goodness. All of us will really give him a big hug, right? That'll be wonderful.
Build a tent.
Right?
Build a tent.
We'll do the same. Yeah. But what about today now? You still prefer to live at that time?
No.
Why not?
Because he's gone to the Father. He's...
Oh, just because he's gone to the Father. So, sorry, he's not here.
He has also become the Spirit, so he's with us.
Yeah, and not only that, is the word of life. You're listening to the same word spoken to the disciples 2,000 years ago. Not any different. Blessed are the poor in spirit who spoke that. Right. It's the same word. And so John realized this. And in John chapter 6, the Lord says, why don't you all go? I talk about eating me, and everybody left. So what did Peter say? Yeah, we know you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Where should we go?
That is Matthew 16, right?
That's right.
Oh, blessed art thou. But in John chapter 6, where shall we go? You are here with us.
You have the words.
You have the words of eternal life.
Amen.
And we have the same word. Even we have more. We have more. From the ministry of Paul, Peter, James, and John. And the book of Revelation there. It depends on you. But unfortunately, because like George says, we're distracted. The more you know in your head, the less life you have, because it distracts you. And Paul gave us a warning. the letter kills. And the knowledge puffs up. Makes you proud. You think the knowledge is good, but it brings you back to the wrong tree. Don't think knowledge is good. Maybe in a certain way, if your heart is pure and you're for life and you're eating the word, then it's not from the knowledge of that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the knowledge comes from life, from touching life. So if you are in the realm of life and you come to the Word of God becomes nourishment and food to you, not knowledge. But if you are learning the interpretation, the meaning, what does this word mean? What is it in Greek? What is it in Hebrews? And how come it means like that? And you look into the internet, you look into the dictionary, and you look into the books. Somebody made a list concerning the true worship. Huh? This person said that, that person said that, the brethren said this, Darby said this, Grant said this, Blackburn said this, and then we said this, you said this.
Nobody said what God said.
And nobody says what God says. But what a theologian says. Who cares what a theologian says? That was a problem of that time when the Lord was on this earth. What did the chief priest say? What about the vice priest? What about the elders? What did they say? What about the scribes? They should know. They know the Bible. They're searching the Bible all the time. That's their business. What does the Pharisee say? But nobody cares what the Lord says. You read in the book of Acts about the Bereans, right? What is so special about the Bereans? Why are they more noble than all the other Christians at that time?
Because they searched up the scriptures to see if what Paul was teaching is according to the scripture.
Why didn't they go to the Pharisees then at that time? Go to the scribe. Can you imagine they go to the scribe instead of checking the scriptures?
They're wiser.
They're
more noble. The Bible says they are nobler than
they're more noble. Because they don't want to be deceived. They want to really know the truth. And only the truth and the life can set us free. Nothing else. Nothing else. We have to be this kind of Christian. If you go to the pastor, you're through. You're done. But if you come back to the Word of God, then you'll be saved. The Word of Truth. This is why the Lord put John at the very end of its group of the scriptures there. Because after so long a time, we'll be distracted, like George says. We become expert, theologians, know the Bible so well, but then what we know, we don't do it. We don't live according to what the Word says, because we can't. Because we cannot. We don't have that life. And not only a little life, but a fullness of this life. A child cannot do whatever even the parents say, right? You do everything your parents tells you to do. Well, what about God telling you to do this? You think we can all do and obey God? No. But only by this wonderful life growing, filling us day by day. You're eating. You are exercised to live this life. It's not a matter of understanding. You understand so much, but you can't do it. Just like what James says, don't be just hearer, doer, but be a doer. Don't be just reader, hearer, or a speaker. That's why James says, not only be hearers, but don't be all of you teachers. You like to be a teacher? No. Right. Why not? Isn't it good to teach the Bible? More judgment. Why more judgment? You're teaching the Bible. You're not teaching people to steal. Because you do the opposite of what you taught others. You taught them, but you don't do it, and you do the opposite, just like what the scribes and the Pharisees did. Right. What do we learn from this? What do we learn from this? We all need to enter into the reality. Be filled daily with the Holy Spirit, amen, with the anointing. Amen. Right? Of course, we are not perfect. But then, we cannot say, because we are not perfect, okay, just forget about it. No. Right? We train ourselves.
Amen.
We need training. Life needs training.
Amen.
That's why you go to school, right, Elizabeth? You need to learn, do your homework, right? Training, don't you need training? You need training, right? Now that you're a father now. With 2.5 kids now. It's a training, you know? Don't think it's easy to be a father. And as we grow in life, our training change. And you will never stop training yourself. The higher the life, the more training is needed. Mercedes didn't need too much training. Right? You want to ask him to come, you just have to put a piece of bone there. Come, he will come. So easy, it's not hard. But hey, our life is wonderful. The divine nature is now in you. This is what Peter says concerning this wonderful life through the faith that we received. But you have to add to this faith all the time. Not easy. Don't think to grow spiritually is easy. Even to grow in human life is not easy.
Yeah.
Like Emmanuel just came back from Boston. 2 weeks, was it easy? No. Definitely not. But let me tell you, our spiritual life needs more training. More training. I'm 80, I still need training. So, learn to choose life from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. There are 2 trees. You have to choose. Whether you like it or not, you have to choose. Yeah. Man is created in such a wonderful way You have a will to choose. You have a mind to think. Right? And you have an emotion. What you love, what you like, what you don't like. We are created in a very special way. And God will never force you. Just like in the Garden of Eden, you have to choose. Are you going to choose this tree or that tree? Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Actually, why did not God call that a tree of death? Suppose you there are two trees. One is tree of death, the other one is tree of life. Which one will you choose?
Tree of life.
Why not tree of death? Well, because everybody's afraid of death, right? But a tree of the knowledge, what knowledge? Don't you like knowledge? Well, God created you with a mind, right? So what's the mind for? Let's say I'm the snake right now. What did God create? A mind. What for? Right? Good and evil. The knowledge of good and evil. So your choice will be good or evil. Right? What would you choose? Choose good or evil? But firstly, in order to choose between good and evil, you have to know what is good and what is evil, right? But if you choose that, God is jealous of you, and now you'll be like God, who knows good from evil. Your eyes will be enlightened, and you'll be like God. Don't you like to be like God? Don't you?
Not like that.
Why not? Or would you prefer just to not be able to discern anything? This is the problem. So, Adam and Eve were sucked into that deception and the lie of Satan.
Yeah.
Remember, Satan is a liar. But God warns them, the day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. Satan says, no, you shall not surely die. That's a lie. That's a lie. Today, many of us Christians, our criterion, what we are going to choose is it good, is it bad? Is the teaching biblical, not biblical? Is it right or is it wrong? That's the way you choose things, right? Isn't it? Would you choose something that's wrong? No, right? Of course, I'll answer for you. And this, we are in this room today. And that is not the choice that God has given us.
Mm-hmm.
If you read Deuteronomy chapter 30, at the very end, Moses told his people, God's people, the Jews, today I set before you life or death. That's in chapter 30, right?
Yeah.
Verse 19 or something like that, right?
Yeah.
I choose and present before you life and death.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, well, I leave it to you to choose. No.
Choose
life. Somebody read that verse, please.
I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death. Blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life,
Amen.
That both you and your descendants may live.
Amen.
Amen.
Write that verse in your heart.
Yeah.
You have a choice. God will never force you. No. In all my Christian life, I've not experienced one time that God is forcing me to do something. Of course, that doesn't mean that He wants me to do the bad things. But I have to learn to choose. That's the way He created me. Mankind have a free will. That's why the Bible says, even in the New Testament, whosoever will. Whosoever is thirsty, you come and choose. But you have to choose before the Lord and pray. Choose life. Then you get a blessing, not a curse. Choose life. Right? And then you have the two covenants. You have the old covenant, you have the new covenant. Which one would you choose? The Lord came to bring in the new covenant, and so God's people had to choose. But they chose to remain in the old covenant. The letter kills. There are two ministries. The ministry of the letter and the ministry of the spirit of life. I heard people talk about the ministry of life, the ministry of the new covenant, but there was no life. It's still in the old covenant. Interpreting the Bible, giving teachings about the Bible. And they're good at it. I'm not saying they're not good at it. If they're not good at it, they won't have a mega church. Right. So you have to choose. And what are we doing, the ministry of what? Of the letter? Or the ministry of life. That's why among us Christians, I don't agree with your view. I don't agree with the true worship. I don't agree with your understanding of this verse. I disagree with this, I disagree with that. That's why there's so many problems and troubles and divisions. But if you talk about life, who disagrees with life? You disagree with life, Vince? Oh, see? No. Or you prefer death? You only have two choices, okay? Not good or evil, but life or death. You made the wrong choice, you'll miss the goal. Paul made a right choice. When he met the Lord Jesus on his way, he got rid of all of the things of religion and Judaism. Consider them as dung, rubbish. And he was again life. He was again Christ. We should make this choice. And Paul even argued for them. Right, in the book of Romans he says, the law, how come? Well, the law is good, right? But how come when the law was given, then I die? He says, no, the law is holy. The law is good, given by God. Then Paul himself asked a question for them. Then how can something that is holy and good brought death to me? No, you give me the answer. Where do you find the answer? The answer is found in Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Right? If only there is a law that could give life to you, then righteousness would have come through the law. In chapter 3, right? Verse 20 or 21, I'm not sure. The trouble is not that the law is bad. It didn't say thou shalt steal, the more the better. Not like the law in California. You can bring a sack and fill it up, go to Walmart. As long as it's not over $1,000, nobody can touch you.
$1,000 a day?
Yeah. It didn't say you can only bring one sack, and that's it. You can bring a sack a day. What did it say now in Galatians chapter 3? Here, Sam, you're there.
Yeah. Is the law then against the promises of God?
Certainly not.
For if there had been a law given, which would have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law.
Yeah. So no one can be justified by the works of the law. Why? Because we have a sinful, evil life injected into our flesh. So you know I shouldn't do that. But that terrible life will command you to do it. Because this is why Romans, the book of Romans says we're slaves of sin. So, we need this life, a different kind of life. Praise the Lord, we're born again. Appreciate the word this morning, we're born again. We have now received another life, but you have to realize this life has to grow. This life has to grow. And if you have this life within you, then you will understand why John says to keep the commandment of the Lord is not hard.
Not burdensome.
Not difficult. So is it difficult for you to keep the word of God? Depends on the life. If you're mature in life, you're grown in life, you're enjoying this life every day, you're nourished with this life. You don't remain a child. You grow. Then keeping the law is so easy. It's even a joy to keep it. You'll be so happy you did. You'll feel peaceful. But if you break the law, you won't be able to sleep. So this life in John, the epistle, is just full of evidence. Is it hard to love the brothers? Really? No? Depends on which life you're living. If you live the fallen human life in the flesh and the self, then it's hard to love the brethren. You only love what you love, but that's not real love. But if you're filled with this life, the expression of this life, the manifestation is you love the brethren.
Amen.
Not just those who are lovable. Right? If you love those who are lovable,
what credit is it to you?
What credit is it? Right? Even the mafia love also, they're lovable. They love each other. Until something happens, then they shoot each other. But praise the Lord for this wonderful life. Right. And if you have this life, you'll be set free. And you will not be bound. And the one who is living in you is greater than the one who is in the world. That's why if you just teach people not to love the world, it doesn't work so well.
Yeah.
Right? But with this love life, that is growing in us, that is penetrating our heart, right, and dwelling in our heart, then your emotion is changed. Then you will learn to love the Lord. And love the word without an L. Right? You know what the word is without an L? Or the word with an L? So what do you love? You love the word? Or you love the world? Make a choice. You have to make a choice. But the more this life grows within us, you will love the light. Amen. To be in the light. This is very normal. God is light. And God is love. These two things are very important. This is the basic element of this wonderful life. The light will expel the darkness. And the love will bring us together to build up and fulfill God's plan and purpose. Without love, Paul says, you cannot build up anything. So we do need this two basic element in John. Yeah. And remember, these two must always balance each other. Love and life. I'm giving you this afternoon just a general view of the Epistle of John. Light needs the accompaniment of love. The element of love cannot be missing. Otherwise, everybody will run away. Amen. But if you just have love without light, then there will be corruption.
Yes.
It's impossible. Mm-hmm. You need a combination of both. That's why the evidence of life is that God is light and God is love. And this too must always exist together.
Amen.
For God's plan and purpose to work. We talk about the body of Christ, the building, but it's not built up by knowledge and doctrine. What did Paul say in Ephesians 4? The body builds itself up.
In love.
You sure?
Yes.
Not in the knowledge?
No.
In love. If love is missing, it's terrible to be in the light. Then there will always be
condemnation.
So, light without love will be condemnation. Love without light will be corruption. So what do you prefer? We need both. That is the Epistle of John. Light. And the brothers will share more about the details. It's very important. Right? The evidence. How do we know we have light? How do you know this, and how do you know that?
Right.
It's not a matter of knowledge and doctrine, but it's a matter of evidence.
Yes.
The manifestation of life.
Amen.
Remember this word, manifestation.
That's right.
Life is manifested.
Amen.
If it is not manifested, what is to put a question mark, is that life?
Oh,
don't just go for, oh, wonderful teaching. An older brother who passed away already, much older, at that time, he realized there's so much darkness going on. Right? Because in that so-called ministry, there is the wonderful conferences and there is the terrible ORG, right? Organization. So that brother told me, I know there's so many terrible dark things there. But the Lord is still using him to speak. How do you think the Lord would judge? How well you speak? How good your doctrine is? Or the Lord would judge so much unrighteousness, sinful, evil things? I told that older brother that. I said, how do you think God would judge? What can I say? Right. So we all need to pay attention.
Yeah.
Really. Because ultimately, if you missed what God has prepared for us, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth for a long time. So, your choice. Life or death. Okay?
Amen.
Choose life.
Amen.
Amen.